Hello and welcome to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. At Emmanuel Croydon, we exist to be a community drawn together by our desire to know and follow Jesus. We long to become disciples of Jesus who are equipped to serve him in the whole of life, transforming families, communities and workplaces as we love God with heart, mind, soul and strength. We hope you enjoy this week's talk from the evening service. Thank you for joining us today. Grace and peace to you.
Lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors. But you are not to be like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you a kingdom, just as my Father conferred one on me, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, Satan has asked to sift you and wheat, but I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. But he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Jesus answered, I tell you, Peter, before the cock crows today, you would deny three times that you know me. If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a human being, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thanks so much, Kellen. Well, good evening again, and welcome to this, the fourth in our series on life together, on the subject of service. Can I have the first slide up, please, John? We are following in our evening services the chapter headings of a famous book on community written by a German theologian, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He wrote this little book, Life Together. And Bonhoeffer learnt about what is required in community in extraordinary circumstances. So I don't know if you know something about the church in Nazi Germany. They had changed the national German church's teaching so that it would fall more in line with kind of Aryan supremacy. And Bonhoeffer and many others resisted this, and for doing so, they were ejected from pastoral ministry. In fact, my great-grandfather was imprisoned for the same reason. And Bonhoeffer's life, unlike many of those in the resistance movement, got even harder. He was part, in the end, of a plot to kill Hitler, and was finally, tragically, killed just a few weeks short of the end of the war. But while he was establishing this confessing church, this resistance movement, he set up a sort of semi-underground seminary, a place to train pastors outside of the corrupting eye of the Third Reich. And it was as a lecturer in that seminary, a place called Finkenwalde, that he really did business with this idea of what's required for community. And in many senses, the pages of this book are full of his experience there. And that background is nowhere more obvious than on the topic that we're coming today, serving one another. When Bonhoeffer was thinking about serving, Germany was being ruled by an immensely powerful regime that had no time for the weak. And the Nazis in that category placed the disabled, those of mixed race, the Roma, the Sinti people, as well as the Jews, of course. And they actually had programs for the sterilization and even termination of such people. So that was the background. The resistance movement, which Bonhoeffer led, by contrast, was pitifully under-resourced, very weak economically, outwardly unimpressive. But Bonhoeffer felt they had this. They had true Christian community. They had a community in which the weak and the strong would be honored together. In fact, he spoke of the absolute necessity of the weak. This is what he said. He said, every Christian community must realize that not only do the weak need the strong, but also that the strong cannot exist without the weak. The elimination of the weak is the death of the fellowship. Do you see what he's saying there? He's saying, in a community, if it's going to work, we need people with need. And so Bonhoeffer gave a radically different vision of human interaction, one that fostered deep, interdependent, costly, practical community, a group of people whose needs and their ability to meet them were its strength. And that's what I'm going to be talking about this evening. And on one level, my message is really very, very, almost tediously simple. God calls us to love one another. God calls us to love one another. It is very simple. On the other hand, it is actually a really, really difficult subject to speak about. And I have not, I'll be honest, enjoyed preparing it. I haven't enjoyed preparing it for a number of reasons. Number one, it's difficult because I know my own failings. I'm looking across a church here with lots of wonderful, servant-hearted people. I know the many generous and amazing people who've loved and cared for me. I also know the many times I have failed to care and love for others. So it's difficult for that reason. It's difficult also because love one another is just so direct, isn't it? I mean, there's no wriggling. There's no faking it. Genuinely to serve others is just a really hard thing to do. It's wonderful, but it's hard. And we all remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, yeah, that Jesus' point. Basically, people, even very religious people, are very good at finding reasons why they shouldn't love the person who's right in front of them. That's what we are. We're like, we are factories of excuses for not loving people around us. That was basically Jesus' point in that parable. And so today I really want to get underneath this basic idea, loving one another, serving one another, to look at our attitudes and our desires so that we might, by God's grace, be able to change. That said, it's difficult. It's also a really exciting area of the Christian life to talk about. I looked at some research this week commissioned by Citizens UK, and they report that in our nation there is a growing sense that Britons have turned inward and away from each other. As a nation, people generally feel we are becoming more distant, less connected. And what that means is that if any community actually manages to live out Jesus' command to love one another, we will become, and are indeed, an oasis of grace in a desert. You remember Keir Starmer rather unfortunately said that phrase recently. We're becoming an island of strangers. Make what you will of those words. The church can become a friendly face on that island. And that is a great opportunity for us. good. And just one more little caveat before we start. A couple of assumptions here. We're going to talk about service, Christian service. Christian service can take many, many forms. It can be one-off. It can be to strangers. It can be to friends or enemies, family. It can be visible or invisible. It can be public for the good of the bigger community, the world, the nation. It can be private, just for the good of a few, perhaps your friends. What I want to talk about today particularly is Christian service in community, and specifically in the community of the local church. I know there's way more service that happens than this, but this is the irreducible minimum, because this is what the Lord has given to us. Local church is just a brilliant idea, because without it, we can imagine, oh, I want to love people. I've got to love my global neighbor. How are you going to work that out? You can't love 7 billion people practically. You just can't do that. Okay, well, I'm going to love my family. That's easy. And they're your own people. The local church is actually the perfect environment in which to fulfill this command. There are people in this local church who are far enough away from you that it can't be selfishness to love them. Yeah, you're not going to get anything back just in your own kind of sort of advancement, although there's lots to be had back, lots of advantage. But also, it's close enough that you can know the names of the people around you. You can actually know what their needs are. The local church is a great place for service. So here's the structure. I'm going to talk initially a little bit about the theme of humility, which I think is such a key starting point. And then I'm going to skip through four pairs of actions: listening and speaking, praying and being prayed for, helping and being helped, bearing and being born. And then I'm going to spend just a brief moment at the end thinking about what happens when I cannot serve. Okay, so if you've got the scriptures somewhere near you, you'll be really helped if you go back to Luke chapter 22, which Carolyn read for us first of all. Luke chapter 22. And we look here actually at a phrase that Bonhoeffer himself, he got really into this. Luke chapter 22, verse 24. And that verse 24 of Luke 22 says this: a dispute also arose among the disciples, as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. A dispute arose among them as to which of them was to be considered the greatest. And this is where Bonhoeffer starts his chapter on serving one another. And you may think that's a bit of a funny place to start. But Bonhoeffer wanted to say this: look, actually one of the greatest obstacles to us serving one another is this. There is this part of our sinful nature that deep down is constantly vying for position with other people. And what happens is we look out across our brothers and sisters. We probably don't admit to doing this. We certainly wouldn't want to shout it out. But subconsciously, we are always inclined to start making a hierarchy. We're always thinking, he says, who here is important? Who here would be more deserving of my attention? And who might be lesser? And we're always making these calculations, and they can go in all sorts of different directions. Maybe we fail to notice those who are not so loud or not so prominent. Maybe it's the other way around. We resent the people who have lots of prominence. Either way, the challenge of serving one another is that it's actually really hard just to get to the place in our hearts where we genuinely are humbly wanting to serve our brothers and sisters. So often in our hearts, we're thinking, Lord, I wonder who's the greatest. And so our challenge as we start is to adopt the attitude of Christ. Jesus goes on to explain in verse 25, the kings of the Gentiles are lorded over them. This is how it works in the world, yeah? People, everyone's climbing to the top. And those who exercise authority of them call themselves benefactors. But you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. Or Philippians 2, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves, not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. So the challenge for serving begins with valuing others' needs above our own. I don't know whether you guys have prayer lists. I have a prayer list, and one of the items on my prayer list is thoughtfulness. I have to pray, dear Lord, please make me thoughtful. Because I have learned I really need God's help here. Because I'm often just thinking of myself. And so I'm never going to love anyone because I'm not bothered about their needs. I'm just thinking about myself. The first thing that needs to happen is I need to feel for those around me. So I wonder, where are you on that? Where are you with that starting point of humility? That is the starting point, humility. Okay, and then I want to just go through four little pairs of actions. And sorry, John, you only got three slides because I've popped an extra one in there. But it's fine. You guys can cope. So the first one, serving. First type of serving is listening and speaking. Listening and speaking. It's one of the great ways that we can serve one another. By asking questions that bring to the surface the life of the people around us. And I think, you know, this is a really undervalued form of service. It doesn't require specialist qualifications. You need to be able to ask a question. You need to have some time. It's demanding because you have to stop talking in order to do it, to listen. But more than that, proper listening requires us to set aside our own thoughts and contributions for a moment and focus entirely on the person we are with. Proverbs 17, verse 27 says, "Whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding." It's a great challenge, isn't it, to restrain our own words that allows us to listen. I said listening requires no specialist qualifications. It does require something very, very, very precious: time. This is one of the most wonderful things that you can give to your brothers and sisters in our time-starved world. If you have time, that is a blessing. So I'd love you just to have a think. Whom in this community is the Lord calling me to listen to? Who is it that I could sit with and ask and explore and putting my own thoughts and experience to the side? Just listen. But you'll see I've written listening and speaking, and that's because, of course, you have to have the other part of the pair. In every community where people serve one another, it's only possible to serve if the other person is willing to be served. And we can't listen to one another if we're in a place where none of us want to talk. None of us can open our hearts up and live lives with one another. And by the way, that's why we have that coffee question that we deliver every week. That's what we're trying to do with it. It's a little attempt, I know. It may not go that far, but we're trying to foster an environment where there is the possibility of listening and speaking happening in our church, where we begin to open up who we are to one another. And we pray that spills out well beyond a Sunday into the way that we are with one another. That's listening and speaking. Okay, no slide for the next one. If we could go just a blank slide for now, John, thank you. Praying and being prayed for. Praying and being prayed for. Romans chapter 15, verse 30 says, "I urge you, brothers and sisters, by our Lord Jesus Christ and by the love of the Spirit, to join me in my struggle by praying for me." I spoke earlier about my prayer list. Can I encourage you, if you don't yet have a prayer list, get hold of one. So if you're like a sort of paper junkie and you love that kind of stuff, you can buy yourself a really nice moleskin, you know, book or whatever you like, a little one. And I mean, you can do this in many different ways. But for example, first 7 pages, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then you can put some names, one, you know, a name on each page or perhaps 5 names on each page. Someone who you then pray for regularly or something. If you're more into apps and things like that, there's a fantastic app called PrayerMate, which manages your prayer lists. And you know, if you forget a day, it knows that you've forgotten a day, and so make sure you pray for those people. However you do it, I wonder, where is your prayer list? Maybe in your head. You might want to put it down on something more robust. More importantly, who is the Lord putting on your heart to pray for? Is there someone that you really feel you need to pray for? Can you serve someone in that way? And of course, prayer is so powerful for community. Bonhoeffer was a big believer that basically you cannot hate your brother who you pray for. And it's a great thought, isn't it? Particularly if you're struggling in a relationship, start praying for that person and you will find you are changed, as well as, of course, your requests come to the Lord. And that, by the way, is also why we have our prayer ministry at the end of the service. It's great to have, to bring whatever's on our hearts, have someone pray with you. But what we hope happens is you receive prayer and then you realize, actually, do you know what? I could do this. You know, if a friend comes to me and life is difficult, I could say, hey, could I pray for you about this? That prayer for one another becomes part of our life together. That's the second way of serving, praying and being prayed for. The third is helping and being helped. Third way of serving. Now, at this stage, I could have jumped onto the recruitment drive bandwagon and started talking about all our ministries, but I'm not going to do that. I want to do something deeper as we think about helping one another. I want to remind you of the attitude of Jesus. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5 says this: in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. What's a servant? A servant, of course, is someone whose greatest concern is their master's needs. I wonder whether you have ever experienced someone who really lives out that servant-heartedness. My first job was as an assistant to the chaplaincy at a boys' boarding school, and I had a couple of small teaching responsibilities added in. And the job was actually created for me by someone I'd known beforehand. He'd been my school chaplain when I was at school. But not only did he organize for the job to be created and recruited me to it, he said, look, you're going to live off campus when you start, and you're going to have to cycle in the mornings. You've got to find somewhere to shower. You could come and use our house for that. In fact, he didn't stop there. He said, you can have the top room at the top of the house. That's going to be your room whenever you need it. You can leave your stuff there and come and go whenever you like. And that was, I thought, actually, I wasn't used to Christian communities. I thought this is quite strange, actually. That is more generous than I can even get my head around. Well, the first term started, and it was boarding school, so there were evening duties. And the first time I had evening duties, my boss said, well, you know, there's no point you going home. Why don't you just stay for supper? So I said, okay, that's very kind. And, you know, I had those kind of like rhymes in my head, you know, pick up a fork, pick up a pen, you know, I'm going to have to write a thank you letter afterwards. And so I had supper, I was very grateful, and I wrote a thank you card. And then the next day, I actually had another evening responsibility. And he said, look, you must, no need to go home, you can just come and have supper here. And this went on and on, and I kept writing these thank you letters. And after a while, he said, you know what, why don't we just, you can just not write the thank you cards, okay? You're here. We love you. You can be at our table. Perhaps you've had that kind of experience. That family taught me way more than any textbook about what it means to help someone. He was interested in what I needed. He'd taken the time to work it out. And at great cost to himself, he made it happen. Now, we can't help everyone. The need is overwhelming. But we can be helpful to someone. And I know many of you already do this, but who is it the Lord has placed in your life? Is there someone who just has some kind of trifling needs, frankly, that you know that they have that you could serve? Is there some small practical assistance you could offer? Living in community is often just that kind of thing. My last point on this one, helping and being helped, which, again, I love from Bonhoeffer. He said, we must be ready to allow ourselves to be interrupted by God. God will constantly be crossing our paths and cancelling our plans by sending us people with claims and petitions. That is a great test of our servant-heartedness. I've got a list that's this long, and I don't even have time for that. And someone comes up and goes, can you do this? What goes on in my head? This is my life, and it's very important, and you've brought your less important life over here, so I don't have time for it. Or actually, are you important? In fact, how can I get myself to the point to realize that perhaps this isn't as important as you are right now? That's a struggle for me, I know. But I've seen it work, helping and being helped. And then the last form of service, bearing and being born. Bearing and being born. Not being born as in giving birth, but being carried. So when someone bears with you. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says, bear one another's burdens. Bear one another's burdens. Sometimes we serve one another by simply bearing with one another. Sometimes you're just really annoying. And actually, one of the best ways I can serve you is by not getting irritated and not picking you up on it. And guess what? Sometimes I am also really, really annoying. And sometimes the best way you can serve me is just by shouldering it for my sake. Not escalating it into a great big shenanigan. There's a time for calling someone out. Of course there is. I'm not suggesting there isn't. But sometimes service is simply to bear with one another. And of course, we as Christians, we know about that. We know a Savior who bore our sins. We know a Savior who took all of our wrongdoing on himself, who hung on the cross and there suffered the worst of everything that we are. And he is the example for our lives. Bearing with people is costly, isn't it? It's niggling, it's fiddly, it's irritating, it's inconvenient. But it is glorious. It's the way of the cross. And actually, it's one of the things that makes Christian community possible. And that's again why I've said not just bearing, but being born. And this is what I want to finish with. In a Christian community, not only do we bear with one another, people bear with us. And that's what makes it possible to keep going. Because if I spend long enough with you guys and you spend long enough with me, you're going to rumble me. I mean, I can pretend to be reasonably okay for a while. But after a while, you're going to realize the nasty things about my character, my deep, annoying, repetitive failings, and vice versa. And the wonderful thing is that the gospel gives us a way of getting past that. I actually can dare to live with you because I have hope that you might see me as I actually am and forgive me. And that gives me the confidence to be in community because I know I won't be condemned. That is a wonderful way to serve one another, to bear with one another and be born. Good. Well, let me invite the musicians up. I just want to close with one last thing. Serving other people is joyous. It's wonderful. It's transformative. But all of us get to the end of our capacity at some point, don't we? And I don't know whether you noticed, I gave you that passage where the disciples argue with each other, who's the greatest? And Jesus says, look, you've got to be like a servant. And then the next thing that happens is basically Peter's like, yes, Lord, I'm gonna be there for you. And he denies Jesus three times, just after he's been told to serve. And the reality is all of us will get to that point. All of us will get to the point where we feel we can't serve anymore. We're broken, we're exhausted, we're out of capacity, or frankly, we just didn't want to do it at the time and we feel so disappointed with ourselves. Well, I really want you to go away this evening, not with condemnation, not feeling pressure. I want to remind you that God is a God of grace. The Lord Jesus came not to be served, but to serve. And whether or not we manage to serve one another, he will always serve us. He will always come to our need. He will always forgive us. He will always put our needs first. And we may find great encouragement and grace in him. Let's stand to sing.
Thanks for listening to the Emmanuel Croydon podcast. For more information about our church and everything we have going on, visit our website, emmanuelcroydon.org.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to see and hear what's going on in the life of our church. God bless you and have a wonderful week.